Before we get started with this week's edition of the always pressing PGA DFS podcast, let me let you know that it's brought to you by Draft.com. Fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on Draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why you need to try Draft. No more getting crushed by the pros. More than 1 million people have already downloaded Draft. Play in a real-life NBA, NFL, or for this podcast purpose, PGA Draft right now. Be done drafting in under 5 minutes and get paid out the day the tournament is done. The PGA version is great. You draft, you enjoy the 4 days, and you collect your money Sunday night. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join them whenever you want. All new players, this is the catch, all new players, when they make their first deposit, get entry into a real money draft by using the promo code SDSports. You got to use the promo code SDSports to get that free entry. That's right, playing a real money draft for free by using the promo code SDSports. But it gets even better. For some crazy reason you do not like Draft, they are offering a $100 money back guarantee. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now, but you have to use the promo code SDSports. Void or prohibited, must be 18 or older. See website for details. Offer must be redeemed within 14 days. Now, welcome to this week's edition of the always pressing PGA DFS podcast.
Play. Sir. Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building. Nigga.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when it comes up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the always pressing PGA DFS podcast. We preview the fifth major of the season, the Players Championship. And in order to do so, the boys are back, the usual threesome in play. Check them on Twitter at BPSnow11. Bucks, how we doing?
Doing awesome, Bubba. Glad to be home for the pod, not on the road, not hammered, ready to rock it.
Not literally on the road.
Yeah. And the other voice you hear there is our guy you can find on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
I'm all right. I walked 18 holes of golf yesterday.
Ooh.
Struggled.
If we want to talk golf over the weekend real quick, I played 27 on Friday, 18 in a tournament on Saturday, and 18 again yesterday. So I'm a little but I've been doing that 12 months out of the year.
You put your in golf shape.
Yeah. I'm round. My bicep or my whatever my forearm did a lot of 12-ounce curling this weekend.
Oh God.
Between your golf and your podcast schedule, when do you sleep and eat?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
If people see me, I eat very well. The sleeping part, that's got some desire still. Yes, still need to work on that one. Yeah. But this isn't the Bubba Life Advice Show, so let's get to some PGA DFS talk. Let's recap the Wells Fargo real quick. Jason Day, for those people sleeping on him, it's his second win of the year and is, I believe, 10th win since 2015. And the impressive part to me is there's two wins this year at Torrey Pines and then here at the Wells Fargo at Quail Hollow. Two good courses, two usually pretty decent fields, so they weren't just like walkover tournaments. What are your takeaways from the Wells Fargo, Bucks?
Yeah, I thought it was the Wells Fargo is one of those events every year that you look forward to, kind of like the Players, because it's one of the most difficult courses they play all year. And so it rewards great play. It really penalizes some poor shots. But the interesting thing about Quail Hollow is you have such a wide variety of holes that you can score on. So even if you hit a bad shot or two, you can still take advantage if you're playing well. And so, I personally watched most of the coverage on Sunday and yeah, it was great. You had a lot of fireworks going on. You had a lot of guys make some really incredible up and downs. Honestly, if you just watched hole 18 all day Sunday, you saw some of the most ridiculous pars that you'll see all year.
Yeah.
I mean, Nick Watney made whatever it was, 65-footer. Phil Mickelson got up and down from the water. Like, it's just ridiculous. But it was awesome. It was a great event.
What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, from like I think, well, it was a great tournament to watch because it had such a good finishing stretch, 14 through 18. You know, you got birdie chance and then hang on for dear life. But, you know, with that being said, they made it interesting, you know, putting a ball in the water on 14 and then almost jarring one on 17. So it was, yeah, I didn't watch a whole heck of a lot of it this weekend. I watched quite a bit of it on the weekdays, but good tournament overall. I think it's safe to say Jason Day is back.
Not yeah. Only did Jason Day put a ball in the water on 14, it was with an iron.
Yeah, I know, right?
That wow. An
iron. Yeah. Driving iron, apparently, whatever. Yeah. I don't know. But that's a big hook. Like, if you've ever been there, you have to hit it way left to get it in that water.
Yeah.
I bet you I could find it. Tiger, a big problem for Tiger this past weekend was his putting. It was really, really bad. I guess, you know, we kind of expected the ups and downs of Tiger, but how concerned should we be with this? Or is this like a week-to-week thing we just kind of move on? Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's I look at it a couple ways. Yes, it's very uncharacteristic for Tiger to putt that poorly. But he's not the same Tiger. I mean, I think he's going to have weeks like we've seen with Rory where he gets real hot and then he's like mediocre. I think mixing having a bad putting week at Quail, which is one of the hardest courses all year to putt on, is just a bad combination. And so yeah. I wouldn't hold much stock in it. It's just one tournament. You guys know as well as everybody that listens to this pod, golf can change day over day. It's not like mm-hmm. he's had 6 months of poor putting. One bad round here, one bad round there isn't going to make it. Just like Rory, him crushing it with the flat stick, that one tournament doesn't make him a good putter all of a sudden.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Any Tiger thoughts, Jesse?
Yeah, the putting, I think he can figure that out. I mean, he can walk out his back door and figure that out pretty easily. But and what concerns me more than anything else is still the tee shots. I mean, he hit 42, 57, 50, and 28% of the fairways all week.
Not
good. And that, you know, Quail is a place where you do have to hit driver quite a bit because it is long. He still hasn't figured that out. So that concerns me more than the putter. I think he'll figure that out. But I mean, he's still, you know, even though he putted terribly, he still finished, made the cut and played awful on Sunday to drop back. But I mean, it wasn't overall, I think Tiger standards, terrible week, normal, you know, PGA Tour pro, that's not bad to be such a terrible putter and still make the cut. And
no doubt about it. Before we get to the players, Bucks, you had a thing you wanted to bring up about the difference between DK scoring and finishing. We've talked about it from time to time, but you have a couple good examples from this past week.
Yeah, I mean, I think – and we do. We talk about it. If you listen to the pod, you hear us talk about it in the stats section every single week, how important DK scoring is in relation to finishing position. Because while finishing position is great because it's generally an indicator of how well you're playing, how well you're scoring, you definitely have guys that have a higher propensity to score DK points. And this weekend, you saw that with a lot of players. Like, you saw a lot of guys that finished well and didn't score because that's Quail. You make a lot of pars, make some bogeys, but generally par is a good score. But then you got guys like Tony Finau, who barely made the cut and then played really well on the weekend and scored out of his mind when it comes to DK points. So, I mean, perfect example, Webb Simpson, Tony Finau, both shot 2 under, both were tied for 21st. And Tony Finau had 30 more DraftKings points than Webb Simpson. And in these formats, especially at Quail where the scoring is low, 30 points is freaking massive.
Yeah.
And so, yes, if you're playing cash games, Webb Simpson is probably a safer play, although you could probably argue that as well. But Tony Finau just scores. And it's really important when you're looking at the stats to keep that in mind and weigh that when you're looking at, like, cut percentage and finishing position, that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I remember looking at mine and looking at Tommy Fleetwood. This is the cut. After round two, he had more points than, like, almost everybody on the squad than the other five made the cut. So just goes to show you.
Yeah, I'm with you guys on that. Another one was obviously Finau finished sixth. And DK points 21st overall, and Mickelson finished tied for fifth with Paul Casey, but beat him by 10.5 points.
Yep. Jesse, why don't you give us a little recap with your Captain Hindsight piece on Fanshare this week?
That was part of it. Was talking about Finau and the fact that he finished 21st and in the tournament, but sixth in points. So that definitely was part of it. But, I mean, your top six in scoring overall in the week was obviously Jason Day finished first. Watney finished second. DeChambeau finished fourth. Wise finished tied for second. And Finau. But other guys who were kind of, you know, who really only scored on one day, Peter Uglan shot 62 on Saturday, finished seventh in overall points. Paul Casey was also up there. But – there was only really one. It was kind of a chalky week. There's only out of the top 10 most owned guys, only two of them missed the cut. One of them was the most owned, and this hurt us quite a bit. Bubba, Tommy Fleetwood, and then the other one was Streelman, who was highly owned in a lot of things too. So, yeah, I mean overall the chalk hit last week, relatively speaking, and Day came in a lot higher on than what I thought. I thought he was a sneaky play, but he was not.
Well, that was a fun tournament as always. Now let's get into the Players Championship, and it's going to be a fun one. Loaded field, and as we were talking about before the podcast, all heck breaks loose at this course. So before we get into the picks, Jesse, give us some past event history. This will kind of give people an idea of the carnage that can take place at the TPC.
Yeah, just looking at that leaderboard, this past leaderboard from last year, and I was just trying to figure out, like, how you get there, and I have no idea. So, basically, in order, you had Siwoo Kim, Oosthuizen, Poulter, Bellow, Stanley, Glover, Molinari, Adam Scott, Brendan Steele, and Alex Noren as your top 10. And, I mean, I still don't know how you get there without just taking a lot of punts, but – so, obviously, Kim won last year. Other past winners were Jason Day, Ricky Fowler, Martin Keimer, Tiger Woods, Matt Kuchar since 2012. So, a lot of big names up there, though, and with, of course, Siwoo Kim last year somehow. I don't understand it.
It was the Pat Mayo bump. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Let's get into some past or some course preview here, Bucks, as it's another – one of our luxurious Pete Dye courses.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of these this year. And again, pretty typical for Pete Dye. It is a difficult golf course. I mean, it's 7,200 yards, par 72. Average winning score is 12.5 under, and cut line is typically around plus two. But the interesting thing about Sawgrass and the great thing that Pete Dye did when he designed this course is he kept it super, super balanced. I mean, you look at a 7,100 yard golf course in these days, that's not long. But you have only had one tournament, one Players' Championship over the last 10 years that have finished better than 15 under. And so by tour standards, it's a difficult golf course. I think last year was fifth hardest golf course they played all year, and it's a fairly short golf course. But all in all, Pete Dye created a really, really fair golf course. Let's just start with the par threes. You have a par three that on 17, that's 130-something yards. If you gave the pros that distance all day long, they'd dominate scoring, but 17th is surrounded by water, and it's just hard. Typically, it's Florida, so typically there's some wind as well. But and then you have another par three I think it's the eighth hole. Yeah, eighth hole. It's 230 yards. It's crazy. So you have a 100-yard difference on a couple par threes there. Then you get to the par fours. You have a par four on the back nine. I think it's 12. That's 300 yards. It's scoreable. It has almost a 30% birdie or better rate on the year last year, which is just insane. But then you have two or three par fours on the back nine that are close to 500 yards. Same with the par fives. You have one par five that's really not reachable, but then you have three that are. And so you have this really wide range of really scoreable golf holes and then just really, really difficult golf holes. And so, like we talked about earlier, taking the guys that have that propensity to score well, not just make pars, is really important here. But again, par 72, really balanced golf course. Typically, fairways are pretty easy to come by here. When you look at the tour average, it's much, much easier to hit a fairway here, keep it in play here. Where it gets difficult is hitting greens. So taking a guy that is hitting greens at a higher clip than normal is a good thing. Also, around the greens and putting is really difficult here. The putting inside 10 feet is really hard here. So having guys that can excel in that, also guys that are getting up and down from everywhere, those are the guys that you're looking for, because hitting greens here is a difficult task that you need to make sure your short game is on par. If you look at Siwoo last year, I think he was top five in both putting inside 10 feet and around the green, strokes gained around the green. I think he got up and down like 88% of the time last year, which is just insane, especially since he came into the event at 62%. So that was a big reason he won last year. And so, again, you're not looking for guys that typically need to hit the fairway all day because they're easier to hit, but you want those guys that hit a lot of greens and the guys that have a really strong short game, because those are the guys that are going to excel here.
No, I like it. You mentioned the greens. I was reading somewhere that one of the smallest sets of greens on tour, so that definitely comes into play. And I do like what you mentioned, because what I was reading earlier is it is a really interesting course, because like you said, it's not just long, or it's not this. It's a course that even guys like us could go out and probably play and not really, we'd get beat up because it's still a professional course and all, but it wouldn't be like, if you can't just bomb it off every tee, you have no chance type thing. You can still have fun at this course, and it makes it an interesting watch for sure with these pros, and you kind of see all aspects of their game. So I like that quite a bit. Jesse, what are some of the key stats you're targeting this week?
Yeah, a lot of recent form. Like we were talking about before the pod, the course history here, there's a lot of guys with bad, bad course history. And so it's going to be weighted a little bit, but not as much. But anyways, looking a lot at greens and regulation, I think that's going to be a very high correlation with whoever ends up playing well this week, and then scrambling as well. I think, like Bucks was just talking about, the greens are small, got to be able to get up and down, much like at Quail Hollow, where scrambling was ended up being a pretty good stat, because Jason Day ended up leading in that stroke chain scrambling for the week. So, or around the green, I guess is what they call it. But either way, that and then, birdie or better, and then, bogey or worse too, percentage. So just trying to get guys who make birdies but also avoid the big number.
Yep.
What about you, Bucks?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much on the exact same line as Jesse. I mean, every week we talk about it. Every single week I look at DK points, bogey avoidance, birdie or better percentage, and recent form. But then as far as the weekly stats go, I'm looking at, because it's such a balanced golf course, strokes gained overall, so strokes gained total. Just, I want to have a holistic view of everybody's golf game kind of thing. But then I am focused on greens and regulation. I'm focused on around the green. I'm focused on putting inside 10, 15 feet. Really that short game, unless a guy is just like off the charts bad off the tee, I'm probably more focused on the short game and propensity to score.
Yeah, I'm with you because it's not like bombers. I do, you know, the approach is something I'm looking into, and then putting. You mentioned that the greens being so small, so you got to imagine some sort of scrambling or around the green work, as you mentioned, could come into play. And as I've mentioned every time I might pretty much preview one of these with you guys, I'm a big course history guy, and you guys hit it. This is a car crash in the making every single time. Like literally, Jason Day, the year he won it, the year before that he missed the cut. He didn't play the year before that. You obviously Siwoo Kim. You have Ricky Fowler wins it 1 year, misses the cut. The year before that, he T77, then a missed cut.
Yeah,
there's really no method to the madness here. There's very few, and we'll hit the ones most likely that have consistent success at this course. It's very, very few. So I'm more of a recent form guy, and we go from there. It's going to be nasty. This is one of those weeks. I actually think, you know, if you have the capability, this is a great week to do like a 20 entry max, because just do a complete slew of options. I think that's going to be the best approach, but we could talk about that at the end. Yep.
We take this brief break in the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast to talk to you about RotoWear, one of the greatest shirts in fantasy sports. They have DFS shirts, fantasy season long, all kinds of great shirts. They're the best quality shirts in the industry. No other brand can compete with RotoWear in terms of quality, premium blend fabric, super soft, comfortable, athletic fit shirts, specialized printing process, design is part of the shirt, literally dyed, bleached into the fabric, no thick ink. It's ridiculous the amount of options you can find, over 30 different designs. Fantasy football, baseball, hockey, basketball, DFS, they keep coming out with more and more and more stuff. Men's, women's, kids, you name it, they've got it. There's lots of buzz kicking up in the fantasy industry about it. People are wearing these shirts. They're representing the shirts. They are great quality shirts. And you can have one too. You can have more than one, as many as you want. Just use the promo code DEGENS, D-E-G-E-N-S, DEGENS, for 20% off your order. Go to rotowear.com. Or go to @RotoWear on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Check out what they have. They're giving away free shirts all the time on Twitter. But when you go to purchase, use the code DEGENS, D-E-G-E-N-S, for 20% off your order. Now back to the Always Pressing PGA TFS podcast.
Let's get into it. The picks. Starting at 10K and above, you got five guys. You got Rory McIlroy at 11.6, Jason Day at 11.4, Spieth 11.1, JT at 10.8, and Dustin Johnson, the fifth priced player at 10.3. Haven't seen that in a long time. He's basically playing for that number one ranking right now as he scuffled and others have kept going. So this is interesting. Bucks, what are you liking up top?
Yeah, I think, and you guys would know, but I think there are, what, five or six guys that have the opportunity to take over that number one spot this week?
Something like that,
yeah. I mean, there's a lot of scenarios to happen, but I think it's like Rose, Rahm, JT, DJ, obviously, and then maybe a couple others. But, yeah, there's a lot of things that are in play this week, and that could be – for a guy like Dustin Johnson who likes to space out at times, that could be that motivator to get him going. Dustin Johnson, just starting from the bottom, Dustin Johnson is kind of like off the charts when you look at like DK points, bogey avoidance, strokes gained overall or total. But around the greens and putting, he's been mediocre. And I'm just looking at the last 24 rounds here. If I were to pick my top two guys here, I really like Justin Thomas. And then, honestly, I'd go back to Day. He's one of those guys that gets streaky hot. This is a golf course. If he won at Quail, and he hit the ball all over the place his driver. And so you bring him on a golf course that doesn't require him to – yes, you have to keep it in play. But a lot of the trouble that Jason Day hits it in is left. This is a golf course where you can miss it left. You can't miss it right. And so I like Jason Day again this week. I think because he won – last week he'll be lower owned, that whole back-to-back theory, and so I'd probably go back to him in this range. But again, you guys know as well as I do, I typically, for the most, I'm gonna do three entries. Two of my three I will avoid this entire 5K range. So what about you, Jesse?
Yeah, I just don't know if I can get on the Day train. Like, he got bailed out quite a bit by his putter last week. Obviously, he hasn't – I don't know if you guys heard this, but he hasn't missed a putt inside 5 feet all year on tour.
Wow. That's impressive.
It's like 180 straight or something.
Crazy. It's a lot. And he didn't miss one at all at Wells Fargo. And typically if you're doing that, you're making all the bogey putts or making all the longer par putts or whatever. And I don't know what percentage of those were just tap-ins. I'm sure they're counting the tap-ins in that, but he hasn't missed a putt inside 5 feet all year. So, I mean, his putter was red hot last week. It bailed him out quite a bit because he wasn't hitting the ball tee to green very well. He only hit 57, basically, percent of his greens in regulation. So I normally would be with you, Bucks, on that. But, like, if we got to get somebody who's, you know, can hit more greens, I just don't know where his iron game is at this point. He did scramble very well last week, though. So
his iron game is medium.
I think he's, you know, there's some angles to play day. If somebody did, I wouldn't talk them off of it at all. I'm not a big Rory fan this week. I do like the three below. Now, I don't know how people are going to react to this pricing because obviously the top two have won since the last time that the bottom three have won. But if you look at like somebody like Spieth at 11-1, terrible course history, three straight missed cuts here. did finish fourth here in 2014.
Oh, but so he's going to win.
Top threes, including one at the Masters, hasn't played since the Masters. And he was hitting a lot of greens. He's been hitting a lot of greens, been scrambling very well in his last two tournaments. And even this year, just overall, just, you know, getting up and down pretty well. So it's going to depend on how highly touted these guys are, where I end up going. Cause you know, this is like, it's like, you know, just trying to pick apart the best thing in the world. I mean, like these are the five of the best golfers in the world. So Justin Thomas, burnt me last week. I'll probably play him. I'll probably play all five of them, to be honest with you. But if I had to put them in order, I would go Spieth, JT, DJ, Day, McIlroy.
Yeah, it's pretty good there. I do like Day. I agree with everything you were talking about, Bucks, and I have no problem going that direction. But the one guy I'd look to here, if I go up here again, like you, Bucks, not a fan of this going up high region thing. But Justin Thomas, he's just the one guy that I can, you know, probably regret saying these words right now. The one guy I can trust in this range to continue to put up good round after good round. You guys can edit that out for like Friday afternoon. I kind of see it coming now. but you just look at the way he plays, and you talk about guys that can score and guys that can, you know, make some of those shots. And it doesn't matter how big the course is or how small the course is. He's proven us so much over the last year. He's not just this bomber that goes out there and he's reckless. He's actually turned into a really good golfer. So I like Justin Thomas a lot at 10-8. I think ownership-wise, I think everyone's going to flock to DJ at 10-3. At least I feels that way. So I think those other four guys are going to get super cheap. And I think McIlroy is going to go extremely overlooked. And I can see Spieth as well. But I'm going JT at 10-8. Let's go to the 9K range. You got Ricky Fowler, John Rahm, Justin Rose, Sergio Garcia. Nice little range to pick apart right here. Jesse, where are you starting?
Yeah, just a couple few golfers to choose from here. Again, you know, splitting hairs on these guys. It's going to come down to ownership, I think, and projected ownership anyways. My favorite at this point is John Rahm, even though he missed the cut here last year. You know, hitting a lot of greens in regulation. Okay around the greens. But he's just a ball striker, so assuming he doesn't get too pissed off, you know, I think he could do well here.
What about you, Bucks?
Yeah, I mean, I'm honestly not a big fan of this range. I typically really like playing Rahm, but for some reason, I'm just not feeling it this week. I think if I just look at the scoring, then Rahm is elite. But if I look at like short game around the green, that kind of thing, he's, I mean, mediocre at best, and that kind of concerns me here. The only guy in this range that I do like is Justin Rose, only because he's been putting better of late. Again, he fits that same mold as Rahm, where he's been struggling kind of with his short game, but his putter seems to be turning around. He has a propensity to score and avoid the bogeys like we've been talking about. So if I have to start with a guy in the 9K range, it's going to be Justin Rose for me.
Yeah, it's crazy. We've all overlooked Fowler, and I'm not going there either. I'm looking at Rahm at 93 as a guy that could definitely have some fun here. But if I have to pick just one, I'm with you, Bucks, Justin Rose. We've talked about it over and over again of how well he's played this year. You know, he's made 12 of 12 cuts, 8 top 10s in that time period. He's fared well here. He's won a top 10 once, 3 top 25s. Still have some miscuts in there, of course, because that's what this tournament does. But at 9,100 bucks, he definitely could be a nice starting point on a team. I'm going to ask you guys, Sergio Garcia is one of the few guys that does have amazing course history here, like really, really good course history. He's coming off back-to-back missed cuts, including the Masters. What are your guys' thoughts on Sergio this week? Is he going to be overlooked, or is this one of those that people will look at the course history and take him, and we'll just sit and watch?
I'm glad you mentioned him, actually, because I was going to ask you guys about him if I had the chance, because he's going to be one of those guys who does not show up very well on any stat models. Therefore, he's going to be low owned, and like you said, he's actually got good course history here. I think he's a GPP, play. Especially, I think he'll be the lowest owned of this whole entire group, everybody we've talked about so far.
I think it will largely depend on what contest you're playing. Just because you do have a lot of course history truthers, which will focus on that. But I think for the most part, I agree with you, Jesse. I think that he will be fairly low owned. And I personally think there's a good reason for that. Yes, if I'm playing a bunch of lineups, then yeah, I'm going to take a flyer with a low and Sergio at this track. But he hasn't made a cut in a month and a half. So I can't reasonably say, here, go play Sawgrass, one of the hardest courses on tour, and try to avoid the water that's on the right side on 12 holes when his miss is right. So I don't know. I'm mixed about Sergio, honestly.
Yeah. It's just typical Sergio. He's so tilting. Like back-to-back missed cuts prior to that, 3 top 10s, and he picked up a win and overseas. He was playing really, really well. He's like that guy that wouldn't shock you if he tore it up here. But then yeah,
sure.
He's just very like you said, Jesse. GPP play, Bucks, a lot of lineups. Yes,
I think he's 100% fadeable. Like if you don't want to play him, just don't play him. But I think if you've got 20 lineups, like you were talking about earlier, I'd throw him on one or two at least.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go to the 8K range where this is juicy, and it's been juicy lately. And I'm a big fan of this range. Casey, Stenson, Reed, Woods, Matsuyama, Mickelson, DeChambeau, Fleetwood, Molly, and Kisner. A couple guys I am looking at here. PC is definitely on the radar, coming off his nice T5 last week, and he's been playing really, really well. Last two trips here, T22, T23, and I think he's playing, obviously, I'm stating the obvious. He's playing the best golf he's played in a long, long time. So Casey at 89, I think, is a gift. I'll take that. Henrik Stenson's a guy that fits this course really, really well to me. He can bring that 3-wood out and just move it all around that course. If his putter's there, which it definitely should be, but it is a question mark at time with Stenson. It could be interesting, but $8,800 bucks. Talk about recent form. He definitely has that tool here. Patty Reed's on fire, as much as I hate the guy. Like, there is no better recent form in all of golf right now other than Patrick Reed at $8,700. So week in and week out, he gets it done. He's on the short list. And the last guy I'll mention here is Phil Mickelson. Yes, the same guy that I used to hate. I pretty much play every week now. And he continues to get it done at $8,400 bucks. And he does have decent history at this course. He's played it 24 times, for crying out loud. So he knows all the spots. But in the last 5 or 6 years, it has not been good. So maybe things have changed with Phil. He's in play. And there's a handful of others I'll let you guys talk about. But those are the key ones I like. Casey and Stenson, for sure. I could definitely see starting a lineup with those two and throwing some Phil in there. Bucks, what do you like in the 8K?
I mean, like 90% of this range, I'm 100% playing.
It's loaded. Yeah.
I will have a lineup with all 8K guys. Like, it's going to happen.
Yep.
It's insane. Like, all right, so out of all of these guys, there's 3 guys I'm not playing at all. 1, Hideki Matsuyama. Don't like him. Don't like him this week. Kevin Kisner, I have no idea why he's priced here.
Because he's a Pete Dye specialist.
Yeah, well, enjoy that. And then Francesco Molinari is just like, if there was ever a week that someone is just doomed to miss a cut, it's going to be this week for him, because 1,000% of the PGA community is on him right now. And yes, he's another one of the Sergio types. Stats are not great right now, but he loves this golf course. So I'm fading Molinari. I love Phil Mickelson. We've all been playing him for a while now. I'm going to continue to play him. Patty Reed, love him. Stenson, love him. Casey, love him. Even Tiger. Tiger's always going to be decently owned, but in this range with so many freaking guys around here, I like Tiger in a GPP setting to be a decent value. DeChambeau, he is a guy that one, he's been playing well and finishing well, but two, he scores a shit ton of DK points. A lot.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
And he's been hitting his irons really well. He's been putting pretty well. And so DeChambeau, Mickelson, Reed, Stenson, Casey, all of those guys are going to be some of my core this week. Fleetwood, I want to be on the right side of Fleetwood when he actually starts playing well again, but I just can't trust it, not here. So I'll largely fade Fleetwood again. But if I had to pick two guys in this range, it's going to be Reed and Mickelson.
What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, you guys pretty much took everybody that I was going to talk about. I mean, I'm on PC. Henrik is top of my model this week. I actually like Pat. I'm coming around to Pat, so he'll probably miss the cut this week if I actually play him.
I'm scared of that too.
Again, on Phil, because of the whole DK points thing, I do think that if you're playing like the round-by-round BS on DraftKings, that Phil and Bryson are two guys that I would look at pretty much every single round, depending on where they're priced, because they can make a lot of birdies. They'll make the bogeys, but if you're in those round-by-round deals, birdies are king. And last but not least, I'll talk about Tommy Fleetwood a little bit. I mean, for me, like, so he had 14 straight made cuts before this miscut at the Wells Fargo, with two back-to-back 74s for, you know, six over par. Putter was awful. Short game was awful. But like we talked about before, I mean, wasn't hitting that many greens either. Just wasn't overall, just his game wasn't there. But, you know, I have faith that he can fix that stuff. It takes a couple extra days, takes him off or goes back to the range and gets that fixed. And if I can get him, you know, 10 to 15% instead of at 25 to 30%, I'll take that all day. So probably watch the projected ownership, the tags on Fleetwood. I'm always a Tommy Fleetwood guy, a.k.a. new PC. You guys know this. So I will ride him, and I'm not going to miss it whenever he does win. I do want to be on him. So he'll be on one of, you know, probably at least one of my teams this week. I'm not all in like I was last – or close to all in like I was last week. But, you know, I think he's got some – because just because of the whole bounce back factor, there is something to be said for – chalky miscut guys.
Question, similar to the Sergio Elk. Tiger, $8,600 is quite a discount from what we've seen lately. Bucks, you already mentioned how, like, being surrounded by all these golfers, you don't think he'll be low owned. Jesse, what's your take on Tiger at this price tag?
I'm just not playing Tiger.
Oh, I'm not playing him either, but what do you think?
I mean, I can see why some people will. You know, and he's making cuts. So he's almost like cash game worthy, really. He's just not – I don't know. I just don't know that he can compete for a win yet.
Here's the one thing I'll say about Tiger. He has played his best golf all year on less than driver courses.
Yeah.
Yep, that puts a wedge mid-iron into his hand. I think his proximity will be – much closer than we saw like last week. And he'll have more opportunities to make putts. And I don't think he's going to putt as bad as he did last week. So I would definitely put Tiger Woods in that top 25 range or better. And it's just trying to figure – the issue is you look at those guys around him. What do you think Tiger's best possible scenario is? What do you think the likely scenario is for Tiger? I would say likely scenario, top 25. Best yeah. possible scenario, what, maybe a top 10?
Yeah. yeah.
But yeah. I can't put him to win. Every other guy in the 8K range can win. Yep,
exactly. Yeah, that's why I just want to get your guys' opinion because we've seen that's quite a price drop for obviously the most popular guy in all of golf. So yeah. something to keep an eye on there. Let's go to the 7K range with the loaded field. We're going to have a loaded 7K range as this is expected, not just quantity, but actually quality this week. Jesse, kick us off in your favorite range in DraftKings.
My favorite? Well, why? Because there's every golfer on the whole entire field is in the 7K range. Is that why my favorite?
Exactly. Yes.
I'll start up top with Bubba. His course history is kind of blah. He did miss the cut here last year. I don't really worry about a whole lot of his what happened with him last year on any of these courses because he's not playing the same golf as he was last year. Coming off a fifth at the Masters, I think he's very playable this week. So I do like him at that price. Kuchar, he's underpriced here at 7,800. I know he's kind of he's not had the best year, but he's very consistent. Course history, missed cut, third, missed cut, has a win here. So I would take a chance with Kuchar at that price. I think a lot of people will pass over Poulter at 78 and think he's overpriced. I like it. I'll probably go to him this week. Oosthuizen played awful last week, but did finish second here last year. He's been kind of sketch up and down this year. Back in Florida, so maybe that'll do something for him. I don't know. Brooks Koepka, I think, is playable at 7,700. Grillo, 7,500. I like him. Chesson Hadley is another guy at 7,500 I do like. You guys aren't going to believe it. Webb Simpson at 7,300. I might just make it all, like, never team. I'll put Phil, Pat Reed, and Webb Simpson on the all-never team because there's a point in my life where I would say I never would play these guys. But at 7,300, I think Webb will be kind of chalky, but it's hard to pass on him at that price. I think a good pivot off of him is Adam Hadwin. Nick Watney's right there. His course history is awful. So I don't know how much of him I really like, but he's playing. He's a lot like Bubba this year. He's playing totally different golf, so – I think he's playable. Kyle Stanley, ball striker extraordinaire, been playing a lot better here recently. And then we get to the man, the myth, the legend, Kierdek Abbey Barnrot. Doesn't matter how he's playing. Just put him in the lineup.
Nice. What about you, Bucks?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many guys down here. and so many guys that, like, actually have value. I'm obviously starting the 7K range off with the Golden Cherub, Cam Smith. Decent ball striker, decent around the greens. The one thing he's good at is being streaky when it comes to DK points. So GPP guy, that should be on one of your teams because he has the chance to go real low as far as DK points goes. Other guys that I really like in this range, Jesse, you mentioned Grillo. I really like him. He's top 20 in like five of my categories. The only thing that he's struggled with in the last three or four tournaments has been his short game. But again, this is a different golf course, a different animal. Tony Finau, $7,500 is super value, like crazy value. Not only has he been playing really well, but he scores a ton of points. And he is top 20 in bogey avoidance. So you got a guy that can murder the ball. The guy, a guy that's been playing well, and a guy that has been making minimal mistakes. That's just that's what you're kind of looking for here at Sawgrass. And again, this is a really difficult golf course to kind of predict who's going to play well, but everything sets up well for Finau being really good value. I think a lot of people like Zach Johnson. I don't like him this week. I'm going to go one lower with Patrick Cantlay. Guy has been playing well for over a year. And I think last year he, what, came in top 10 here? Came in 22nd. He has played this course hundreds of times. And so a guy with that much talent is going to break through at some point in time. $7,500 for that talent is good. Luke List might be the chalkiest guy down here. What are your guys' opinions on List as far as ownership percentage?
He usually is. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he won't be because there's a good chance he will be.
Yeah, I mean, I think, he's been playing great. Two, his stats line up well. And he's $7,400. I think he will be very, very chalky, but could be well worth it. Skipping down, Adam Hadwin, really like this week. Webb Simpson, again, I like this week just because he is a cut maker extraordinaire. And then going – and again, you could go on and on and on and on for these guys. But one guy I did want to mention, $7,100. The guy's been playing really, really well. Marty Laird has had really good form of late. He's been putting really well. His scrambling's great. He's been making a ton of birdies, scoring a lot of points. Overall, he's top 20 in strokes gained. $7,100 for a guy that's playing that well, I think, is crazy value. So that's who I like in the 7K range. And again, there's 14 million guys down here, but who do you like, Bubba?
Yeah, you guys mentioned Watson, Cooch. I agree, Cooch is just way too cheap. You got it at $7,800. It's a great play there. Poulter, I like your take on that, Jesse. I agree there. Daniel Berger is a guy that continuously gets overlooked. He had a bad Sunday. His first 3 days were great, and that's what got his T55. He was like in the top 20, almost top 10 at one point over the weekend. So at $7,600, he can be a cheaper option there. Billy Ho, Mr. PXG himself, coming off that good old New Orleans win. He has been playing really well also at $7,600. You know, when he does make the cut here, he finishes high. So he's a GPP-type guy. He's either going to bomb it or he's going to play really, really well. Cantlay, I agree with you, Bucks. That's one of my favorite ones in that 75 range. I like ZJ, especially for cash. He's as reliable as they come. But for tournaments, I can see the Cantlay pivot for sure. Cheston Hadley at $7,400. That's why I'm confused on – it's either going to be him or List is you're going to be your chalk, in my opinion. So that would be the ones to look at. But Cheston's playing – Cheston's a top 20 machine right now. So he's definitely a guy to keep in mind. You mentioned Hadwin, Webb, like all those. Nick Watney at $7,300. I talk about him every week, and he almost won it finally. This guy's just really, really good. A couple names I don't think I heard you guys say, but, again, there's so many of them you might have. Charlie Hoffman at $7,200 is a decent course history guy here. Another guy, when he does finish, he does really well. You know, he's been up and down in his last five or six tournaments, but at $7,200 could be a spot for him. You're going to hear the Kyle Stanley narrative all week. He has a great ball striker, so this is a place that sets up decently for him at $7,200. Other than that, though, there's a ton of options. You guys nailed both a lot of them. Like Jimmy Walker's interesting to me. I'm not all over him, but interesting at 72. Bo Hotzer is always a guy I like at 71, but there's a ton of them we could definitely take a look at there. So in the 6K range, Bucks, who you liking?
You don't need to go down here.
That's
there's
true.
So many good options, but, I mean, if you were to go down here, just a few guys that I like. John Huh, he has been playing decent. Decent putter, decent short game. He's just like a solid player all around, looking to kind of break through. Patton Kizzire, again, one of those guys that I think he played really, really well for a long stretch there earlier this season and late last year, so I like him. I'm always going to like Rory Sabatini. And then the one other guy that I'll mention down here is going to be Patrick Rogers. The guy has shown flashes of really, really good golf this year at times. And I think for $6,700, if you're playing a guy down low, you're likely in some large-scale GPP boom or bust, and he is definitely one of those boom or bust plays.
No doubt about it. You liking Jesse?
Yeah, there's a few names down here that probably shouldn't be. Keegan Bradley being one. He did almost go full Keegan from the lead to missing the cut. He did get MDF last week, which, you know, whatever. Martin Kaymer finished 42nd last week. He's been coming back from the injury or whatever. At 6,900, I think he's worth a, you know, worth a shot. Another guy is Ches Reavie at 68. Winner this year on tour. You know, could be worth a shot. He's not a long knocker, we know that, Bubba, but he did make the cut here last year. And if you're getting way down, the only guy that I want to play below, you know, 68 probably is, or that I'm going to consider is Blaine Barber. I don't know if you guys remember this guy from last year, but I mentioned him in one of our chats, and he finished 16th here. So he's got some – I think the story on him is he's been around this golf course a lot, so he's not played very well this year, but, you know, he wasn't great coming into last year either and finished 16th. So he's worth a shot, I think, at 65 and – like you said, the large field GPPs, $44 or whatever.
Yeah, no doubt about it. When I'm looking down below here, it's Keegan Bradley for sure. Just, you know, he's way too cheap. Well, not way cheap, but cheaper than he used to be. I like the Martin Kaymer call there. 9 for 9 made cuts here. I don't think there's anybody else that's been perfect at this golf course without, like, just one trip. So he's at least on the radar. He does like playing here. At this price, we always talk about you just want guys to make the cut and maybe contend. He's been able to put together a couple top 25s in his time here. So you can definitely look at Kaymer. John Huff, I agree. That's a guy I like a lot of the time. And he's playing much better this year. So 3 straight missed cuts at this course. It's a different John Huff these days. So I don't mind him at $6,800. You mentioned Sabatini. I don't hate that at all. That's kind of all I'm really looking at. There's always tons of, you know, what if GPP punts down here. But those are kind of the ones I'm steering towards. Bucks, what are your – if you had to pick one or two punts, who are you looking at?
A couple punts that I like. I already talked about it. You just mentioned him. John Huh is definitely a guy that I would like down low. And then another guy who I didn't mention earlier, but he is one of those guys that can just show up out of nowhere and go low, is Jason Kokrak.
Oh, definitely. What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, Blaine Barber, like I mentioned before. Another guy that's kind of popping on my model here, I guess he plays on the Champions Tour, is Scott McCarron. I mean, I don't know that I'd play him, but, like, of the guys down this area, he's rated higher than most of them. So maybe if you're desperate.
Yeah, I'm looking at Keegan Bradley and Martin Kaymer as my two down here in the punts. But I like the Champions Tour. That's pretty solid stuff. No one will be on that. So
I mean, Scott McCarron, 0.1%, and you're the 0.1%.
I'm about to say you are the 0.1%. Let's talk about bust for the week. Bucks, do you have one or two guys at the bust for the week?
Yeah, I think John Rahm I would categorize as a bust this week, and then Francesco Molinari.
Nice. What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, I like the Franny call there. This is not easy. So I'm just gonna go by the rating up there. I mean, I'd have to go Day. He's like the lowest rated of all those guys up there. I'm sorry, man.
I'm gonna go either Jordan Spieth and Tiger Woods. Those are the ones that I'm going with there. What's your core this week, Bucks?
I think my core is going to be Mickelson, Reed, and DeChambeau.
I like it. What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, I'll probably be heavy Stinson. Also, like in Grillo quite a bit as well.
Yep.
I'm going to be Stenson Kuchar for two, and then Phil and PC would kind of round out the third one of those two there.
Yep.
Those are the ones I'm definitely looking at. Okay, moment of truth. Bucks, who's your winner?
Man, this is really hard. I will say Bryson DeChambeau. That's who I'm picking.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
I like it.
Very nice.
Ballsy.
But you, Jesse.
Yeah, winner this week is going to be Henrik Stenson.
Well, that was my pick. So if I had picked someone besides Stenson, I'd say and Justin.
You could go before me.
No, it's all good. I like Stenson, that'd be my 1A. If I had picked 1B, I'd pick Justin Rose. Those would be the two. Those are the two I'm looking at for sure.
So many guys that can win this week.
Yeah. It's wide open.
I mean, that's why this is awesome. This field is phenomenal. And have you guys heard about the coverage?
Yeah, good coverage is going to be, yes. Yeah.
It's going to be insane coverage this week.
Yeah, it should be fun to watch if your golfers are playing well, but it's going to be awful when all of them are missing the cut on Friday.
That is one benefit this week of going some large-scale GPP with like 20 lineups, so you at least have some sort of sweat.
Yeah. No doubt about it. All right, that wraps it up. Last words, Bucks.
Enjoy the carnage.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Jesse?
Scale back. That's it. I mean, that's the wise thing to do. But
coming from Jesse.
There's a lot of good GPPs out there this week. DraftKings did a terrible job of pricing the GPPs, but there's a lot of money out there, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, and most importantly, enjoy the golf. It's a great golf course. Lots of fun, tons of water balls on 17 as we go to expect, but a lot more than just 17 on this course. It's a really good one to watch and enjoy, and hopefully you get some green screens at the end when it's all said and done. For Bucks on Twitter, at BPSnow11, Jesse at DFS Golf Gods, I'm at BD Intric, the podcast at Always Press DFS. This was the Players' Championship preview. So, yeah.